Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
For Ash, 25-yard attempt. Put down, kick is up, kick is blocked! And the kick is blocked, and the Nittany Lions walk out of this still scoreless. Third down, 6, Penn State 8. He fumbles the football. Nick Tarburton recovers for Penn State at the 13-yard line. And the Nittany Lion defense does it again. Motion toward us by Strange. Sets up near side. Clifford, play action fake. Back, steps up. Long and deep. Dotson's wide open at the 10. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. And a fabulous job by Noah Kane on blitz pickup. Here we go. Stall over the ball. Good snap. Put down. Kick is up by Stout. The kick is good. Penn State comes right back and ties the game at 10. What a great drive for the Nittany Lions. Here we go. Stall over the ball. Good snap. Put down. Kick is up by Stout. The kick is good. Penn State comes right back and ties the game at 10. Washington motion away from us. Kane to the right. Back. Pump fake by Clifford. Long and deep. He's got Dotson open. Jahan's got it at the 25 and goes down inside the 25 at the 21-yard line. First down, Penn State. Strange right wing. Clifford turns. Kane, right side, lowers the shoulder, drives the legs toward the line. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions take the lead with 9:17 to go. Fourth and goal at the 8. 16-10 Nittany Lions. Mertz waits. He's got it back. Throws in the end zone. Intercepted. Penn State at the 10. Near sideline. Brisker 20, 25, 30 to the 40. Jaquan Brisker picks it off. And the Nittany Lions come up with a goal line stand for the ages. 10 seconds left. Back goes Mertz. Pressure. Throws over the middle. Intercepted Penn State. It's Jair Brown at the 10. To the turf he goes at the 14-yard line. And the Nittany Lions have won it.
Oh, yeah. What a day. What a game. And as James Franklin tweeted out on Monday last week, 1-0. 1-0, and so on. As Penn State gets one of, I agree with this, the more monumental wins, probably the most monumental win since Ohio State and Wisconsin in 2016 in the James Franklin era. The amount of confidence now this team is going to have going forward, it's just immense. Now, you do have to be careful with Ball State coming in next week for the home opener. James Franklin was asked about that today. Of course, you got Auburn, national game of the week. Everyone will be pumped for that. Then you got Nova. Then the Big Ten schedule starts after that. This defense, now, we'll get to the offense in a second, because there are definitely still a lot of question marks to be asked and to be seen and be answered. But that defense is a championship caliber defense, in my opinion. That front seven is enormous in so many levels. Size, speed, skill, athleticism, all those sorts of things. That defense was extremely impressive. They got gashed on the run a little bit here and there, but that's because they were out there and they survived 95 plays. That defense was put on the brink, as much on the brink as you can for defense. Hello, sir. Hello. Steve.
Hello.
You are on.
We're hooked in. I don't know why. Interesting. Hello.
You are on the air. Guess we're having a little connection issue here. That was the offense to some degree in that first half.
Okay. Hello.
Let's see. Let's try this.
Oh, I am. Okay. Nobody told me I was on the air. All right. Interesting. Can anybody there hear me? I mean, evidently Matt can hear me.
I can hear you.
Don't know what's going on. All right. So much for communication. All right. Okay, Matt hears me, but nobody's talking back to me. Oh, well. That's a shame. All right. Let's just at least get to the game. I'll ad-lib something here until somebody figures out how to communicate. And then we'll go from there. Obviously, Saturday, look, as you know, I don't get too high, too low about opening games. I always feel it's a starting point. You knew this was a big game going in because, A, it was a conference game, two, against a really good opponent. I thought when you look at Wisconsin, defensively, they put 7 and 8 in the box and tried to play downhill as often as possible on Saturday. And I think that's the way they want to play. They have linebackers that want to play downhill, especially Sanborn. I think Sanborn's a really good player. And that's what they try to do. They tried to take away the running game. They did, you know, for a period of time, they did. They were blitzing as often as they could. They tried to do it as often as they could up the middle. But then Penn State made the adjustment in the second half, and when they did, it was to go outside of that box. The quick-hitting stuff with tempo on the outside. Wisconsin never adjusted to Penn State's tempo, which is important in a game like this. And they got outside, and then Penn State hit the big plays. Wisconsin only had one play over 20 yards in the game. It was a 23-yard pass play from Graham Mertz to Danny Davis. That's the only 20-yard play that they had in the game. Penn State had 7 of them. And that goes back to what is discussed all the time all of us, about the combination of winning the turnover battle and winning big plays. Penn State's now 26-0 under James Franklin when they win both. We'll get to the turnover part in a moment. But that was the big adjustment. And this goes back to the comment I made last week on the show, which I reiterated in the pregame show. Somebody had asked about the new offense. And I want to say it was Doug from Wellsboro when he called. When Doug called, you know, about Mike's offense, so I used the same comment in the pregame show. I said, one thing I like about Mike is that when something happens, Mike has answers. And I think that's a big part of it. When something happens negatively, Mike has answers and has a counter for it. And between James and Mike, they came up with answers. And that was really important. On Saturday. And that was the adjustment, was going outside, which then opened up the big plays that they eventually got downfield. You know, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Dotson had a couple of them, as a matter of fact. And those were important elements. Now, defensively, Penn State just played terrific all day. I mean, my only comment on the negative side for Penn State is that Wisconsin too often did have, I thought, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2. Other than that, Nick Tarburton, fumble recovery, red zone. Arnold Ebiketie, blocked field goal, red zone. Jaquan Brisker, goal line stand, interception. Jair Brown, interception. Red zone. Over and over again, it was Penn State that was making the big plays in the game defensively, one after another in a game like that. And as Clemson and Georgia showed on Saturday night, you can still win a lot of football games with great defense. And as for special teams, what's interesting about Jordan Stout is I do not recall him in the preseason missing a kick. I'm not kidding. I don't recall Jordan missing a kick the entire preseason. He may have maybe when I wasn't there, but when I was there, he didn't. He actually had one where somebody got a hand on it. It was in Beaver Stadium, and the kick still went through the uprights. It was like a 42-yarder or something like that. And so I was really shocked in terms of the, you know, the extra point that hit the upright and the missed field goal, because I hadn't seen him do that in a month. But the punting part of it, you know, you expect the kickoffs. That you expect. I mean, he was four kickoffs, four touchbacks. But the punts, this was the kind of game where you needed your punter to change field position. You know, you always get guys like, it doesn't really mean anything. Hey, he cranked off a 60-yard punt, a 55-yard punt. Hey, I whooped. Okay, it's fine. It didn't mean anything in the scheme of the game. It's the moments where you need your punter and your punt coverage team to change the dynamic of field position. And Jordan had five punts of better than 50 yards in the game, including the 76-yarder, which is the third longest in Penn State history. In a chess match, which this ended up being, those were big moves in the chess match. So that's how I viewed it. I'd like to hear your view or your questions, whatever. You can do that as well. We're going to have Rich Scarcella today at 3:35 and Merrill Reese at 4:06. Bill Hillgrove will be on the show on Thursday. Neil Coulong is going to join us at 4:35 today. Surprised that I guess the reason Matt wants Merrill on now is that the Eagles haven't lost yet.
That's exactly right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
There we go. All right. Apologize for that.
Usually hitting the little yellow button turns the light on.
I did that eventually. Hopefully it's not a sign of things to come for the Eagles on Sunday.
Who do they play? Washington, right?
No, they're at Atlanta.
Oh, they're at Atlanta. Okay. Yeah, the Steelers have Buffalo.
Correct.
T.J. Watt's still not signed. But, you know, look. In the preseason, I could care less what he does in the preseason. No offense. Veterans, they know how to get themselves ready. I don't care if he's holding in, holding out. It doesn't matter. But if he doesn't play on Sunday while under contract, I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem with that. You already have a contract. May not be what you want, but man, how often have you, now I've railed on this for a while now about load management. And there are a lot of reasons that you look around, for example, and why, you know, COVID's part of it, but why aren't we seeing sellouts everywhere with certain things? Stuff like this is turning people off. Like, what? No, he hasn't done anything yet. And his side has been very quiet about this. And this is, he's done no negotiating in the public. And Neil and I are going to talk about that at 4:35 today. And then we're going to have the big Jalen Hurts conversation at 4:06. You know, when Minshew's the quarterback in the third quarter, how are you going to feel?
Like the season's probably over before it even started.
Oh, you're just so anti-stash. That you're anti-stash.
It is a dumb look too.
You're anti-stash. See, we think the suit needs to go with that look. All right, back with more in a moment. I mean, any look. Okay, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
And based on all the numbers of training camp, he won the job. So, you know, obviously we won't make that determination off of one game. We got to get those things cleaned up. There's no doubt about it. I'm also very, very proud of him because some guys wouldn't be able to handle that well. That would seep into the kickoff. That would seep into the punting. And the guy was the special teams player of the week in the Big Ten, so I do think he took the right approach. It's going to be something I talked to the team about today in the team meeting. You know, we talk about 6 seconds at a time, you know, being your best one play at a time, and no matter what happens at the end of that play, you move on to the next one. But that's how we got here. I think Jake Pinneger still has a tremendous future. We're going to need him at some point this year as well.
So what does one do during the commercial break? One, of course, talks to Jack Ham. So I didn't hear what you played from James. I'm sure it was something about special teams, right?
It was talking about Jordan Stout's misses. And he was asked today.
There's a whole bunch of parts of that operation. I mean, there's all, believe me.
Did it come down to camp? You know, how he got the starting job, that type of thing.
Yeah. Dick in Milton. Yes, sir.
Hey, Steve. Good to talk to you. Hey, good win. And Wisconsin's a good football team. My only criticism was, it's not critical of you, but because defense does win a lot of football games. But my only criticism is your offense has to sustain some drives to keep the defense off the field for a while and get rested. In that first half, it was just like three and done. And they just didn't have any. And I'm not sure why they kept running into that wall. Why they didn't change that offense earlier? And the second half was excellent. I'm not sure why they waited so long to adapt some kind of a change, because it was a strategy that they should have seen wasn't working at all the first number of series. I guess that's my question. And then the defense is right back on the field, and you can't do that for the whole football game. You've got to give them some rest.
You know, the longest, the time-wise, you know, the longest Penn State drive time-wise, this is all the drives, so it's a dozen of them, I think was 2:20. 2 minutes and 20 seconds was the longest out of the 12 drives all day. They only had the ball 17 minutes.
That's my point. And defense will win you football games, but eventually, if they're on the field that much, they're going to get tired also. Or more tired, I guess. And are you going to get a big play like that every game? Well, hopefully you're going to get some in every game, but it's not a guarantee. I guess my question is, I still want that offense to produce a little better than they did. I guess that's my point.
And the number, my number one concern coming out of the game, going to this week, dovetails to what you said. The defense was on the field for 95 plays.
Yes, exactly.
That's a lot of plays, especially when it's the first time through.
So that would be my criticism of the football team as a general statement, I guess. Is it not the way they play, but how long they had to be there, I guess.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Penn State won its opener at Wisconsin Saturday, 16:10. Ball State this Saturday, 3:30. I'm beginning at 2 o'clock. Very pleased to be joined from the Reading Eagle, the always insightful and one of the truly great guys out there, Rich Scarcello. Rich, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Always great to be with you.
I always take openers in the context of an opener. A little bit different because of the fact of the caliber of opponent, especially this time it through. So what was your evaluation of not just the win over that caliber of opponent, but also a starting point for a season in terms of level of play?
Well, I think I wrote this before the game. I think winning that game could be a huge springboard for this season, because it really does change the... I know it's one game, but it really does change the complexion of the season and how I think a lot of us look at the season. You had to be impressed with a lot of things on Saturday, and we could spend an hour talking about all the good things, but obviously the defense stands out. And I wrote a column in Monday's print edition of the Reading Eagle, and really, Brent Pry really took last year hard. You know it as well as people around the team. He lost 30 pounds. Never shied away from interviews or anything like that. Always shouldered the blame. And, he put a lot of work into making sure that the defense was better. And, boy, are they ever.
When there was a period of time in that game where they did not have Jaquan Brisker and Arnold Ebiketie. In one sequence, they both got hurt on the same play.
Mm-hmm.
I made the comment on the broadcast that may have been near the latter stages of the third quarter. They both came back in, and I looked over at Jack, and I said, now I feel like the Penn State defense is whole again. Did you view it the same way?
I did, because, Steve, I haven't seen Ebiketie except for that the one scrimmage in the spring, and he was impressive, but it was a spring scrimmage. Let me talk about him first. I tweeted it, I wrote it. I can't remember the last time a Penn State defensive end had the kind of impact that he did on Saturday. And maybe I'm wrong here, but maybe going back to Shaka Toney's four sacks at Indiana, maybe it was more recently than that, I'm not sure. But my goodness, he made his presence felt from the first play when he dropped the running back for a 4-yard loss. He's impressive, to say the least. And Brisker, we all know how good Brisker is and can be. And obviously, he played a huge role in the game. And I agree with you. I think those two guys, they weren't the only guys who played well on defense, but those two guys are vital to the success of the Penn State defense.
Penn State will not have Ellis Brooks in the first half of the game on Saturday against Ball State. On a team that has the athleticism of Brandon Smith and Curtis Jacobs flanking him, what kind of influence is Ellis Brooks in that middle?
Well, I go back to, of course, when Jan Johnson was there. Jan's from our area, a lot of your listeners know. And I remember doing an interview with Ellis Brooks and him telling us, people who cover Penn State football, how important Jan was to him and help teaching him and the right way to play the position. And, he may or may not have had a great year last year. Okay, let's say that. He was as dominant as any player on the field Saturday on defense. I thought he was outstanding. I thought the linebackers, I thought Smith started slow, missed a couple tackles, but he came on very strong at the end. But I thought the linebacker play was exceptional. But Ellis Burks, he showed me a lot Saturday, really a lot. And, as I listened to your post-game show Saturday, believe it or not, yes, I did. And I heard what James Franklin said. He didn't think it was the right call. He didn't really lambaste the officials. And watching the game here, I agree. I mean, he went for a shoulder tackle, and then he hit the shoulder first, clearly, of Graham Mertz, and then hit his helmet. But I don't think he was targeting. I don't think there was any intent there at all. But it's good to have a Jesse Lucchetta, though, to start at middle linebacker on Saturday, because I thought he played well also, and you know, may have found a position for himself at defensive end going down the road.
I agree. No, it's, that's a great point. Jair Brown also had the closing interception of the game. I think the last, ironically, the last time Penn State was at Wisconsin was Ryan Kaiser.
Oh, yeah.
In the end zone. In the end zone to close out. I think people forget that. Sealands Grove's own. But what kind of balance does that give in that secondary that there's Brisker, but now Brown looks like he can play the way he does?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that these two guys, they played together before at Lackawanna College. I think they work well together. I think, as I asked James Franklin today during the press conference, I think he's Jair Brown Tig is just beginning to scratch the surface of how good he can be. In fact, I just finished a story on him. I talked to his high school coach today, and he raved about him, what kind of young man he is, and so did James Franklin. But yeah, I really like that combination at safety, and I did hear what James said to you and Jack after the game, and it's been a while since they had Penn State has had two outstanding safeties, two, and who can make plays all over the field, and these two guys are really good. Yeah,
you're going to get into a game like that where it's going to be that toe-to-toe heavyweight fight in the center of the ring. Mm-hmm. Where you're trading leather. During the course of this, Penn State hit its big plays. They had seven of them in the game. But they also didn't have a drive over 2.5 minutes, but they scored. But that also meant that the defense was on the field for 95 plays. Any concern going into this week in your part because it was a 95-play defensive performance?
I mean, you would always be concerned, but they're deep on defense at most of the positions.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure what the forecast is for Saturday, but unless it's like 90 degrees and high humidity, I wouldn't worry about it too much. I think, to your point, Steve, is 95 plays in 42 minutes that defense was on the field.
Yeah.
And they held Wisconsin to 3.8 yards a play. I mean, that's impressive. And I think Wisconsin only, maybe I'm wrong here, Wisconsin only had one play 20 yards or longer.
They had 123-yard pass.
But I'm not, if they had just played somebody like Wisconsin in the fifth game of the year and then they were going to play Ohio State the next week, maybe I would be. But they're coming home. They're going to be rejuvenated by fans in the stands for the first time in 2 years. I'm not too concerned. I wouldn't be too concerned about that if I was a Penn State fan.
Yeah, that one 20-plus play was that 23-yard pass play to Danny Davis is the only 20-plus play that Wisconsin had in the game. Penn State had seven of them in the game. So now let's transition to the offensive side of it. On the offensive side of it, they had 254 in the second half after they really changed and took everything outside.
Yeah.
And they took everything outside because Wisconsin was playing in the box downhill the entire time. What did you see in the second half and the ability to adjust?
Well, I mean, Mike Yurcich, it was clear he made an adjustment at halftime because the first, I think it was the first three passes were bubbles to the outside. And then the next pass was, I forgot about it until I watched the replay on Big Ten. The next pass was a slant, I think, over the middle to Dotson, and Wisconsin was called for interference. And then they hit the big play to Dotson, who was just, he was open by 10 yards. I liked what Yurcich did. You know, obviously it's his first game with this group of guys, and I thought he really adjusted well. And obviously, 254 yards in the second half speaks volumes.
Noah Cain was the primary guy, and he had the longest run of his career. He also had career highs in receptions and receiving yards. Moving forward, what can Noah Cain be a factor? How can Noah Cain be a factor for Penn State in this offense?
Well, it depends, and I don't know this, Steve. You certainly might. I don't know what their plans are for the running back rotation going forward because they have so many talented backs. But I will just speak about Noah Cain. Noah Cain, if he can stay healthy, which has obviously been a big if during his time at Penn State, I think he could be one of the top backs in the Big Ten, certainly. What impressed me Saturday wasn't the 34-yard run as much as the two catches inside the 30-yard line. How comfortable he looked after he caught, not only catching the ball, but after he caught the ball. And they were both very big plays that might have been lost in the shuffle. But those two plays, to me, said a lot about Noah Cain and how far he's come.
I know that, obviously, when it comes to the place-kicking part of it, we all know about the extra point and the field goal, but the punting part. I said earlier in the show, Rich, that it's always interesting we hear about, you know, what a punter's average is and so forth, but to me, I always judge them by when you need one, do they change the game for you? Stout had 550-plus yard punts. And a 76-yarder as well, the third longest in the history of the school. What did you think of his performance?
Well, even though I wasn't at Syracuse in 1981 to see Ralph Giacomaro, that was the best punting performance that I can remember.
Yeah.
And his most important punt was the last one, where he took one step and kicked it and got it off, and I don't know what the yardage was on it, but he got it and pinned Wisconsin back. It was very impressive. It's a shame because Penn State could have lost the game if because of the missed field goal and the missed extra point, because Wisconsin had a first down at the one before another one of their poor exchanges.
Yep.
But I don't think it should be lost that Stout had a great game punting, and he also to bounce back after those two misses and punt like the way he did. And he also had another great game kicking the ball off. He had four touchbacks on all four kickoffs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was a big part of it. He was 4 for 4 in touchbacks, had 5 punts of 50 yards or better in the game, and the place kicking part's going to be fine. Take my word, just on observation, that's going to be fine. What is it? How anxious are you to be in a stadium with tens of thousands of people after the last 21.5 months?
I'm anxious because I live with somebody who's immunocompromised, so I'm anxious actually. Thank goodness I'm not going to be sitting in the stadium. I understand the excitement. I get it. But I'm actually a little anxious myself.
Okay.
I could say this, watching the games on TV last weekend, there was a big difference in just the feel of the game in a positive way, for sure. But I can't lie that I don't have any concerns about COVID. I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
Right. No, because Delta has been highly contagious. No getting around it. I completely understand where you're coming from. Any thoughts on this one, at least initially, so early in the week, but any thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, I think, Steve, I think that Penn State, I don't think, how do I put this? I don't think they were looking past Ball State at all during preseason because I'm sure they heard over and over and over again how difficult the first three games were going to be.
Right.
Because Ball State has, 20, 21 returning starters, won the Mid-American Conference last year. Initially, I thought it's going to be a trap game. But I kind of think it's not going to be. I don't know anything. I'm not that smart. But I just have the sense that Penn State is going to play well. And if they play well, they're going to win fairly comfortably.
Yes, you are that smart. So
no, I'm not. I really am not. Thank you.
But I'll say that after all these years. I'm really looking forward to actually seeing you on Saturday. So it would be,
if I could go down one flight of steps, if we're allowed to, I will certainly do that.
Rich, thank you so much. Appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Steve. I always enjoy it.
Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. Next half hour, Merrill Reese. And in the final half hour, Neil Coulon. We'll come back. More in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. An emotional tribute next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, let's get to the phone lines quickly. Doug in Wellsboro. Hi, Doug. How are you today?
Hey, Steve. Couple quick questions. Jerry McGinnis is entering Dave Whitlow territory. Can you please explain the halo rule? Is there such a thing, or what's going on there?
I'm going to have to ask James about that tomorrow, quarterback club, because I'm completely baffled by that. And Jerry's not the one who makes that call. It's whomever the back judge is the one that made that call. I don't get it. Dean, and that's Bobby Engram's son, Dean caught both of them cleanly and then got hit. Man, this is football. I don't get it. So I was baffled by it. I'll have to ask because there is no halo rule, and he caught each cleanly. There was no contact before the catch.
What happened on that when they hit Penn State with the delay of game? But it wasn't clear on TV. Did they substitute? Then Wisconsin had a chance to substitute. Why? That's the first time I've ever seen a warning like that.
Well, what happened on that was that the officials, they're the ones that botched it up. I mean, the center judge put the ball down, and Penn State snapped it. And
That's how it looked on TV. They marked the ball ready for play, didn't they?
Yep, they marked the ball ready for play. It was actually the center judge should have waited for the other officials, did not put the ball down, and then Penn State, which was in tempo, technically got penalized because of inefficiency by the officials.
Last thing real quick. Here we are at the end of the game, 2 minutes left, one first down ends it, and they can't get it. What's the answer anymore? Do you just – Wisconsin's down timeouts, so do you run it, play the percentages, and just hold on at the end, and this time you won it? Previous years, Illinois, Maryland, you lost it, you know, when you couldn't hold on at the end. So I don't know what to do with 2 minutes left. You know, one first down ends the game. Do you play normal offense? Do you just run it and play percentages, or what?
Well, Illinois, Maryland, I always discount those because Penn State was so shorthanded, especially in the offensive line. It was very difficult to close out. This is one where you're playing a really good team, especially a team that's really good downhill and was doing a great job in the inside run. But now you have to make the decision. Do I want to throw the ball and risk an incompletion and stop the clock myself? Because there's risk in that, or do I do what they did there? They have to do what they did against Iowa 2 years ago when they went out there and boom, closed that thing out. And that's what they have to do, is they have to do it like they did with the Iowa game 2 years ago.
Yeah, if you throw it there and somehow that thing gets tipped and picked off.
Yeah,
you just can't take that chance.
Yeah, that's the risk. That's the risk. And with the way Wisconsin was playing downhill with their linebackers, they had put 7-8 in the box in those cases, and it just made it really difficult to run the ball. But at the same time, you don't want to risk an incompletion or a turnover by throwing it. So it's a real balancing act. I'm glad I'm sitting where I'm sitting.
You sound a great Saturday, Steve. Thanks.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate that. Next half hour, Merrill Reese. Final half hour, Neil Coulon. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.